Glad hosannas to Christ the King, and many blessings to us all as we partake once more of the living water that Jesus offered the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. One need never thirst again when that water hits the soul, for it satisfies you forever and ever. So as we draw water from the wells of salvation and enter into the gates of praise, let all that has breath praise the Lord. Praise of worship is due him, for when the God of all comforts called upon, you're actually worshiping truth itself. As God is the living, expressive spirit of truth itself, of St. John chapter 14 and verse 17, and there is no other. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And many such phrases describe the Holy One, that he may be known and believed. And his glory, of course, it shows thereby, for he is greatly to be praised. Brother Ryan with you once again, as so much of our scriptural study and lifting up of the word and searching of the deeper mysteries, it's simply to do this, to generate worship, stimulate thought, and bring forth praise, which then God inhabits those praises of his people. As God is a spirit, invisible, of no material substance, and is quite at home living in your praises that are not of any physical substance either. Yet that non-physical spirit created the worlds and brought forth life, and the spiritual having impact on all the substance that surrounds us. So let's continue on in our subject of As For Me. This would be the third part. And when it comes to decisions, what you decide and what you choose, as Joshua did in his speaking of As For Me and My House, We Will Serve the Lord, what you choose and what you love makes you who you are in Christ, along with what you accept as a freely given gift, as salvation is there for the asking, as a freely given, freely to be received gift from the giver of all blessings in Christ. So as for me, I accept it in the spirit in which it was offered, as written in Isaiah 55 and verse 1, to come buy of the Lord that which is blessed and purchased without money or price. From that precept comes the sure mercies of David, once again through Christ, who leads and commands, and that finds agreement in a double witness that establishes truth with what was given to John the Apostle, Revelator upon Patmos, who was imprisoned for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus, and was counseled to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Same faith, same precept, same God, who never changes his nature, but he does change the hearts of men and women everywhere, as was our focus upon yesterday's message. Yesterday, today, and forever, he is the same. And what was from the beginning and born out of the eternal, it's still eternal. Such things as faith, love, wisdom, truth, those concepts are forever. No one invented them. They were ever part of God's everlasting to everlasting nature, waiting to be discovered. And that's the glory of the infinite Savior. And life is there for the asking. So to this point in our As For Me title subject, it's just a connecting phrase to think on things in a deeper manner as God would have us to do. So far, we've put our attention to the quote of Joshua that we must all decide upon for ourselves as to whom we serve. In part two, it was on the salvation aspect of David's prayer that has great impact on our outlook, as it changes lives for the better. Today, it's more on the personal side of things and how we deal with disappointment and see from a better perspective to find peace of mind and understanding. And it is a battle to obtain the perfect will of God, but there is a way for the heavy laden to find rest for their souls, and that's the encouragement. But at times, your own spirit within will be challenged by even your own thoughts. So, fight the good fight of faith and fight back in Jesus' name. Paul dealt with that subject in Romans 7, the latter half of the chapter, by his wrestling with human nature, as he wanted to and did delight in the law of God. But at the same time, he had a war going on within himself against the law of my mind, as he put it, and its state and condition, as the mind is a battleground. The struggle of sin nature against the measure of faith that God's placed within every person, it's very real in every man, woman, and child. And it all comes down to who we want to be. As the blood of Jesus was shed for sin, as Jesus himself maintained, I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that sacrifice provides the full armor needed to stand, fight, defend, save, and quench the fiery darts. So if you'll turn with me or follow along in Psalms chapter 73, that'll be the focal point of this study, this devotional. In this Psalm of Asaph, the poet-singer of the temple service, he's distressed by what he sees around him. And from verse 1 we read, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, or in other words, no limit to their desire for destruction. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. The psalmist starts very strong, acknowledging that God is good, as we all must do, and that he is a rewarder of those that have an eternal outlook on life and have a clean heart. So our vision, we learn, must not be limited to the narrow confines of our own experiences. And we need the scriptures to give us a wider perspective than just what we see around us, of what we taste, touch, see, hear, or smell. The avenue of faith opens the doors to a wider perception. But in his observation of sight, Asaph says, as for me, my feet were almost gone. Or in other words, his faith and confidence were just about at low ebb by what he saw around him. Why do the wicked prosper? Why do they seem to have all the power? Why do good things seem to happen to the worst of people? Well, he'll come to a better conclusion here shortly, and we'll partake of that in a moment. But now, if anyone thinks there should be no trials in the life of a believer, then consider Christ, who is a man of sorrows and well acquainted with grief. Think on the saints and the martyrs and the apostles. It took the worst of trials for Christ himself to bring out the best in his holy nature when he said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. So this all has a purpose. And ignorance of thought, or the lack of thought, it can be forgiven. It can be covered by the blood. Sometimes people just don't know. They need forgiveness, as do we all. So, as for me, it was nearly too much to bear. I was just about at the point of being overwhelmed. My steps had well nigh slipped into the depths of bitterness and anger, says Asaph. One can only wonder what he saw that made him so desperate, and I think it's probably not so different in our times, as the rich and the powerful seem to get even more rich and powerful along the way. The injustices and inequities of this life will definitely try to distract you from the daily bread of our blessings. There just seems to be no end to it, no limit to the bands of death and destruction. But sometimes it's just meant to bring out the inner person into the light. It almost seems that the good is completely overshadowed by the bad in these things, but don't let that blind you. However the hardness of circumstances may be, think on those things that are lovely and pure and honest and good and true and that abide forever. That's the calling to the saints, to consider the eternal things above the temporary. It's our discipline. It's what makes us disciples, by thinking in a different way, in a higher way. In so doing, the hardness of the hour serves in the blessed end to produce overcomers' faith, which is achieved by fighting the battle set before us. Crowns of credit, bright and shining, are rewarded because of the battles. And it shouldn't seem selfish to anyone to desire such crowns, for when it's for the glory of the Lord first, it's good. For not only does one have to believe that God is, but that he is a rewarder of the diligent seeker. And I don't think anyone wants to reject their crowns or their names that are given by the very Spirit of Almighty God. That doesn't sound good to any of us. So these circumstances that surround us, that what do? They create the freedom to grow with choices set before us that bring out the desire for answers, for eternal answers. And there are answers, as the Bible is a book of answers, the book of the answer in Jesus' name. And we'll find answers to our questions right here, as Asaph did, as we pick it up at verse 16. The whole psalm is instructive, but due to the time constraints, we'll pick it up at verse 16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As the book of Job is the ultimate foundation for why bad things can happen to good people, Psalm 73 shows us why good things sometimes happen to bad people. After all, as Jesus said, the Father makes his sun to rise upon the good and the evil, his rain upon the just and upon the unjust in equal measure. The Lord's thoughts are consistent, everything lined up in perfect continuity to achieve a desired result. And note, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. His mercy does endure forever, but once rejected, let none doubt the severity of the Lord's judgment side of his nature, because they who observe lying vanities have forsaken their own mercy. There will be mercy at the great white throne, but there will be the proverbial weeping and gnashing of teeth as well. Now, one has to reach into the depth of faith within to draw out the eternal virtues that God has planted. Asaph came to that conclusion when he came into the assembly, into the house of prayer and worship, for he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God. That's when his thoughts became clearer, when he shared his worship with others, just as it was when Jesus came into the synagogues of Galilee and Judea. Things became clearer then, too. Worship is meant to be done among many who come together as one, as an assembly, so that the Lord's wisdom and glory is known to all to have ears to hear, as we strengthen one another. It's a chance to help others along the way. So it was in the worship house that understanding came to him. And then it was like awaking from a dream, as we pick it up at verse 20. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus was my heart grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. When the moment of revelation comes, it's striking. But the message got through to him. In brief, all things do indeed work together for good to those who love the Lord. The battles and the glories, the triumphs and the sorrows of loss, it all comes together as we're here in our learning phase, and these lessons will carry on into the infinite future that we have in Christ. And I can't say what all that means in future terms, for eye has yet to see and ear has yet to hear, nor has it even entered into the heart of man of all that God has prepared and is preparing right now. But these teachings, they get us ready. And what we do see is pretty wonderful in the new heavens and the new earth and that is to come. So in that moment of understanding, when Asaph came to his conclusion so quickly, his own thoughts got replaced by a bigger picture. Sometimes we limit the Almighty in our thoughts, but Christianity is very much the practice of letting go of all our notions of impossibility. In Christ, we think big, we think eternal, we think in infinite terms, for he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. We often see in this life in limited ways because we're, of course, very human. We know we can only run so fast, jump so high, see so far, but God himself knows no limits. So when thinking in eternal ways, seeing matters as God does, our vision gets expanded to the heights of his will. And it's a glorious vision. And we need the perspective of the Bible, which crosses the centuries, to bring us the hope of the kingdom to come. When humanity limits itself to the immediate condition, it puts a cap upon the blessings from above. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel or the power of what faith can do in your life. That being so, as for me, I pledge to do the same. Amen, and may God walk beside you all.